Thank you for firing up the Sunrise Church podcast. My name is Steve Garcia, and I am the lead pastor at Sunrise. We are a community of Jesus followers from all walks of life, all colors of skin, and all ages. And I hope this message you hear today inspires you to deepen your connection with Christ. Let's dive in. You know, when I was in high school, I remember this event at my school called Career Day. Anybody ever have one of those kinds of experiences? At my school, it basically transformed our gymnasium into a job fair of sorts, and there's various booths set up, and the hope for the school was that you would walk around and interact with the different representatives of career fields. Well, this might come as a shock to some of you, but teenage boys don't exactly have the reputation for advanced planning. And so I didn't exactly take Career Day seriously. For me, the way that I determined which booths I would visit came down to two factors. One, where the rest of my friends were going, and two, which booth was giving out the best free candy. That's about as serious as I was about my future. But when I entered my junior year of high school, the pressure to solidify future career plans began to really intensify. You know, people would say, this is your most important year. This is when you take your placement test, which will determine what college you get into, which will determine what career you get into, which will determine how successful you are, which will determine how happy you are. No pressure. 16-year-olds, no pressure, but get this figured out now because the next 50 years of your life hinge on this one decision. You know, we wonder why teens have so much anxiety, right? You know, but as I reflect back on those experiences, when I reflect back on my career day and related things like that, I could kind of see what my school was trying to do. They were trying to provide guidance for a kid like me to identify what I wanted to do with my life. Well, what if God is wanting to do the same thing with you and I today? What if God is wanting us to think more deeply about the kind of work that we do? What if God has something specific set aside for you? What is God calling you to do? Today we wrap up our message series called Get to Work. And it's been all about integrating our faith and our jobs. And in week one, we talked about how God created humankind with a responsibility to work long before sin ever entered the picture, a responsibility that still endures today. In week two, we discussed that we should honor Christ with the way we do our works, with our integrity and how we do our work, with quality. Part three was all about how God was both the first worker in creating the world as well as the first rester. So we should reflect the image of God both in how we work and how we rest. Today, our focus is going to be around the word calling. Ever heard somebody use that term before? You know, maybe you heard them say something like, oh, this isn't my work, this is my calling. God called me to quit my job. God's calling me into full-time ministry. And whenever somebody talks like this, inevitably, it makes everything seem much more spiritual. Maybe you start to look at your own job and think, gosh, is God calling me? God seems to be calling everybody else, but did he call me to this job? Because if he did, I think he dialed the wrong number. What is calling? Well, as we dive into this idea of calling, there's two important questions worth asking ourselves today. Number one, what is a calling? And number two, what is my calling? So let's break these two questions down and get into a little more detail. Let's start with the first one. What is a calling? Where calling is actually where we get our word vocation. It comes from the root word meaning to speak or vocal, vocation, and it carried with it the sense that God speaks to individuals regarding what kind of jobs they should have. So from a Christian perspective, the way that we can define calling is that a calling is a strong sense that God is directing you towards something. A strong sense that God is directing you towards something. Now, this could be a little bit difficult to pin down. Sometimes it's a feeling that God is calling me, directing me towards something. Sometimes it's an unshakable thought that God is directing me towards something. But in all times, it's a strong sense. Now, some of you grew up in a generation where calling was defined for you. Calling is what you got paid to do. Your parents' calling was the job they had. Your grandparents' calling was the job they had. And if you ever said to your parent, what's my calling? They would laugh at you and say, your calling is to pay the bills. I recently heard a story of a guy who walked into his boss's office and said to her, listen, I need to be honest. I got three companies coming after me. And I know the budget's tight, but if you want to keep me at this company, you're going to have to give me a raise. So she sat back in her seat and thought about it, and they dialogued some. And after haggling, she said, okay, we'll agree. You get a 5% raise. He said, thank you. And he began to leave the office. And the boss said, I just have one question for you. What are the three companies that are coming after you? He said, the electric company, the water company, and the gas company. Listen, I get it. We all got bills to pay, all right? But listen, calling goes much deeper than just making ends meet. Okay. Calling could be something that goes far beyond that. Occupation may be different from vocation. Calling is not even necessarily something you get paid for. What if God is calling you towards something exciting and meaningful and fulfilling? Wouldn't you want to know what that is? So today I want to look at several different examples in Scripture of calling. We're going to start in the book of Exodus and the famous call of Moses at the burning bush. So if you have a Bible, find your way over to Exodus 3. But you're going to need some fast fingers today because we're going to cover a lot of ground when it comes to Scripture. So let's start with Exodus chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 7, and let's read along together. It says this. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Verse 10, so now go, I am sending you, Moses, to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So this is the famous encounter that Moses has with God at the burning bush. And this was an example of a calling. God gave him direction towards something. In this case, it was work. Moses was receiving a job promotion. God was promoting him from his quiet job of tending to his father-in-law's flocks to now the very loud job of walking into the most powerful nation in the world, Egypt, and walking up to the most powerful leader in the world, Pharaoh, and demanding that he release his entire labor force. You can understand why Moses, when he heard this calling, went, you sure you got the right guy? But this was an example of a calling. That's one from the Old Testament. Let's look at one from the New Testament. This time in Mark chapter 1, this is the calling of two of the 12 of Jesus' disciples. You could follow along on the screens if you don't have a Bible. Mark chapter 1 says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. So again, another example of a calling, especially when it came to work. Here we have Simon, or also known as Peter, and Andrew, and God invited them into a different line of work. He asked them to hang up their fishing nets in exchange for full-time people work. Now, in both of these cases, in the calling of Moses at the burning bush, and the calling of Peter and Andrew, what we have is God directing them towards something specific. But here's what's unique about their calling. It was unmistakably from God. For Moses, it came through a miracle, this bush that was burning, and he heard the audible voice of God. For Peter and Andrew, it was God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, standing in front of them, inviting them into this new work, into this new calling. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never heard the audible voice of God tell me what kind of work I should be doing. Steve, work at Walmart. Oh my God, is that you? I've never had Jesus appear to me and tell me what kind of work that I should be doing. Which begs the question, does God call some and not others? Was calling that was just something reserved for Bible times, but not necessarily for today? Does God have a calling over everyone? Well, good news, the answer is yes. There is actually a general calling for all people, both for those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus and those who haven't yet. And here's one example from Scripture in the New Testament of that calling that's for all people. This is found in 1 Timothy 2:4, and it says, God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. All people. That's you, that's me. The calling over every single person is to receive the free gift of salvation, the forgiveness of your sins and eternity through faith in Jesus. That's the call that God has put on everyone. And once you respond to this calling in faith, that calling continues to be faithful to God in all aspects of life. We see this all throughout the pages of Scripture. In fact, in the book of 1 Peter alone, calling is mentioned 5 different times when it comes to living out faith. Here it is, 1 Peter 1:15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. 1 Peter 2:9, declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. 1 Peter 2:21, to this you were called that you should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 3:9, repay evil with blessing because to this you were called. 1 Peter 5:10, and the God of all grace who, say it with me, called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. In all of these examples, there's this calling to be faithful, whether it's through suffering or through worship or through just your day-to-day behavior. So when you are living for the Lord in whatever job that you have, you're actually fulfilling the call of God on your life. And this is so critical for us to get. Because listen, God cares more about your obedience than your occupation. The call to follow Christ lies at the root of every other calling. So the primary question we should not be asking is what kind of work should I do, but instead, how does faith in Christ shape the kind of work that I do? So when you respond to God in faith, you're fulfilling his calling, which is why the Apostle Paul punctuated this when he said in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. That's the general call that God has on your life. So then the question that we should be asking is, well, does that mean that God doesn't care about my job? Well, I wouldn't assume that. Because again, as you examine the scriptures, you find that God called specific people into specific roles. Things ranging from prophets, to politicians, to builders, to artists, to soldiers. Is it such a stretch to think that he doesn't still do that with you and I today? Which leads us to our second question. The first question is, what is a calling? The second question is, what is my calling? Does God have some specific direction for me in my life? And if so, how do I figure out what that is? I want to give you 5 words today that all end in the letter Y that will hopefully be helpful to you to try to discern the call of God in your life. Because here's the thing, we have a lot of different thoughts and a lot of different feelings. How do we know which ones are from God? How do we know, is this something that God has set aside for me to do? So hopefully these 5 words will help. Here's the first word. The first word is intimacy. And the key question is, am I close with God? You'll never know what God's calling for your life is if you aren't in close relationship with him. Jesus had tremendous intimacy with God the Father. We saw this on display when he was just a young kid. At 12 years old, he went missing. And his mom and dad went looking for him. And where'd they find him? He was in the temple mixing it up with the rabbis. Well, later on in his life, he went missing again. This time, it was the disciples who came looking for him. Let's jump back to Mark chapter 1, this time in verse 35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to nearby villages so I could preach there also. That is why I have come. In case you're unfamiliar with the story, Jesus shows up at a village and starts healing people. Well, word spreads fast, and by the morning, the entire town has lined up at his door. There's just one problem. Jesus was nowhere to be found. So his disciples go on this frantic search, and when they finally find Jesus praying, they likely breathed a sigh of relief and thought, oh, finally, now the important work can begin. What they didn't realize is that Jesus was already doing the important work. And then Jesus stands up and emerges from this time in prayer and says, it's time to go. Pack your bags. I mean, this had to be shocking to the disciples. Like, hello, all these people are at your door right now. We're just going to go somewhere else? But Jesus had tremendous clarity on his job. He said, no, I've come here to preach, not just heal people. And then they got up and went. Where did Jesus get this kind of clarity? Jesus once famously said, my job is to do the will of the Father. He got this clarity from the intimacy he spent with God in prayer. Are you close to God? You know, have you ever tried to communicate with somebody who's in the other room? You know, hey, mom said bring the trash to the curb. What? Bring the trash to the curb. Bring the cash to the church. Stop yelling. Go talk to each other. But you know, that's how a lot of us treat our relationship with Christ too. We push him so far away out of our lives, and then we expect to hear from him. It's really hard to hear the voice of God when you're far away. And if you're wanting to know what God's calling on your life is, you're going to need to have some intimacy. That's where it starts. Intimacy with Jesus can be experienced in a variety of ways. Through worship, praying, dwelling, studying, singing, crying. Intimacy is closeness. It's familiarity. It's relational connection. And if you don't have that with God, you're never going to understand what his calling for your life may be. And then you could run the risk of just treating the work in your life as just a means to just get by and pay the bills and miss out on something that God may have specifically in store for you. So here's your first word. First word is intimacy. Here's the second word, neighborly. And the key question that we should be asking ourselves is this. Does it benefit others? Because a lot of times we'll have a thought or a feeling of something that I think I should be doing, but am I the only one who benefits from it? Again, let's turn to the life of Jesus. In this particular experience, he was out teaching, and he started getting a barrage of questions from religious leaders who were attempting to discredit him. This is one of those reactions. This one found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus summed up thousands of years of religion in three sentences. And his thesis was, love God with everything you got. And then the way that you show this love is how you treat your neighbor. This is essential to discerning God's call, is what benefit does this have on your neighbor? You know, occasionally I'll hear somebody say something crazy like, you know, I think God is calling me to walk away from my marriage and my kids right now so that I can work on me. Listen, you'll be hard-pressed in Scripture to find an example of calling where you're the only one who benefits from it. If you benefit from it and it hurts everybody else, listen, that's probably not God's calling. That's your own desire masked as God's calling. But when you look throughout Scripture, the call of God is always to the benefit of others. So as you're sorting through, trying to discern what God's call for my life might be, ask yourself a couple of important questions. How does this benefit my family? How does this benefit my coworkers? How does this benefit my next door neighbor? The person across town? The person across the globe? These are key questions to help us discern God's calling. Does it have any benefit on others? How does this help me love my neighbor? First word, intimacy. Second word, neighborly. Here's the third word, energy. And the key question, does this bring me joy? Now, as previously stated, a call of God benefits others, but don't underplay the joy and the energy such a calling would bring to you. You know, before I came to Sunrise Church, I was serving as a pastor in a leadership role at a church, but I sensed that God was calling me to be a lead pastor as my role in the church. And so I was just praying and sorting through all of that. And in this particular environment I was in, the lead pastor was put on a leave of absence that stretched over Easter Sunday. So the elders of the church approached me and asked me if I would preach the Easter message. Well, in case you didn't know, Easter in church is kind of a big deal. And so I was honored And I took up that responsibility. And it was a large church, and there was five different Easter services. And at the end of the last one, people kept coming up to me and saying, "Oh, you got to be exhausted." Person after person, "You got to be so tired. You got to be so tired. Go home. You got to be so tired." I got to the point where I had to say, "Stop telling me what I am. I'm actually not tired. I'm energized by this because I love this. I love the opportunity to preach the gospel to people, especially on Resurrection Sunday." Now, ask me to go into children's ministry for five services, I'll give you a different answer. But listen. Go into children's ministry and ask them how they feel. They say, "We're energized." And given the choice between discipling children or standing on stage and preaching a message, we'll take kids every time. Isn't it amazing that the same thing that would energize them would deplete me? The same things that would energize me would deplete them. You know, Jesus is often described as the suffering servant. And every time I hear that description, it sort of makes me feel like his entire public ministry was nothing but toil. You know, like that it was just so hard and difficult. Was that the case with Jesus? No. Jesus loved his job. In fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, did Jesus enjoy suffering? Absolutely not. Who would? But what got him through it? It was the joy of seeing many sons and daughters come to glory. It was the joy of being able to reunite people with the God that we lost through sin in the Garden of Eden. See, Jesus didn't do his job begrudgingly. It's not like, you know, he's coming down to earth and thinking, "Oh my goodness, I got to leave heaven for this dump." Goes out in ministry, "Oh, people everywhere, everybody wants something out of me. Okay, let's get it over with." No! Jesus had joy. He had energy. And when you try to discern calling in your life, understand God's not going to call you into something you hate. We have such twisted thoughts about God when it comes to this. We often think if I surrender my life to Jesus, he's going to make me be a missionary in some remote jungle on the other side of the planet. Where does that come from? You know, by the way, have you ever met a missionary who didn't love what they did? That remote jungle we're terrified of is someone else's passion. Some missionary saying, "I am so energized at the thought of leaving my home country to go to my new country and my new family and my new people." You see, God is, when you're trying to discern the call of God in your life, the mere thought of doing it shouldn't deplete you of your energy. If that's the case, it's probably not the call of God. But when you start thinking about it and it starts getting you excited and energized and the kind of thing you say, "I don't even need to get paid for something like this. I just want to do it." That's a very good indicator that this may in fact be the call of God in your life. First word, intimacy. Second one, neighborly. Third one, energy. Here's your fourth word, ability. And the key question is, do I have the gifts? Again, as you discern what God's calling on your life is, do you possess the abilities to carry this out? Apostle Paul gives a tremendous illustration about this very idea in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when he says in verse 18, "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Every single one of us has been given talents and gifts and abilities that are meant to further the work of God on this planet. My abilities might not be your abilities. Your abilities might not be my abilities. But we all got them. And so when you sort through, is this God's call on my life? Ask yourself the question, do I actually have the ability to carry this out? And so how do you know what your abilities are? You know, the best way to find out your ability is probably not to take a test, you know, a spiritual gift inventory or the Enneagram or something like that. There's nothing wrong with those tests. But the best way to figure out what your abilities are, just look back over your life. Some of you are great with numbers. You get excited at the sight of a spreadsheet. Some of you can lift up the hood of a car and not be totally intimidated by what lies underneath. Some of you can walk into a room full of screaming six-year-olds and be firmly in control. Some of you could sit across the table from a person whose life is a hot mess and calmly and wisely provide godly counsel. And you don't really think twice about it because it comes naturally to you. And you just assume everybody works this way. That's not how it works. There's a body. We all have different abilities. And when you consider God's calling on your life, chances are he's already given you the ability to pull it off. If God called you to it, he'll equip you for it. First word, intimacy. Second one, neighborly. Third one, energy. Fourth one, ability. Here's the fifth word, opportunity. And the key question is, are doors opening? Now again, another person in the Bible who had a famous calling was a man by the name of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah's position was cupbearer to the king, which was a position of massive trust and incredible privilege. No one in their right mind would ever walk away from a job this good. And yet, Nehemiah had this calling on his life that he was to walk away from that position and go to an old broke-down city and rebuild it. And so one day he bumps into one of his countrymen and says, "Hey, tell me, what's the state of Jerusalem?" And he says, "Not good. Walls are down, our people are in trouble." And this is how Nehemiah responded. This is Nehemiah 1, verse 4. He says, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." You know, in many ways, the story of Nehemiah is a culmination of all five of these words in discerning God's call. Nehemiah had intimacy with God. He prayed and he fasted. Nehemiah's call was neighborly. The people it would benefit would be the people of Jerusalem whose walls were broken down. Nehemiah was energized by this call. In fact, the mere thought of not doing it caused him to mourn. Nehemiah possessed the ability to lead a massive reconstruction project. But there was one thing he lacked: opportunity. So what do you do when you sense God is calling you to do something, but the opportunity just isn't there? What do? You pray and prepare. Let's see how this played out in the life of Nehemiah. Very next chapter, verse 1. It says, "In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, 'Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart.' I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?' The king said to me, 'What is it you want?' Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king." Nehemiah had a calling on his life. His current calling was cupbearer, but his ultimate calling was to rebuild the city of his people. And this calling was likely there for a long time, long before he ever got word back from one of his countrymen. But from when he got that report to this moment where he was standing before the king was a four-month period, which means that over the course of 4 months of Nehemiah really sensing God is calling me to do this, what did he do? He prayed and he prepared and waited for that opportunity to present itself. And when it did, he stepped right through it and into this opportunity. And the king started hitting him with questions. "What do you want? How long are you going to be gone? What do you need?" And Nehemiah wasn't fumbling around. Can I get back to you on that? No, he was ready. He told him right away. He was prepared. He had been praying. He'd been waiting for this moment. And then the king gave him everything he asked for and more, confirming that this was, in fact, the calling of God. And what's so fascinating, and this is important to pay attention to, is what did Nehemiah do in those 4 months? He continued to work in his current job. He could have escaped under the cover of night and fled back to his home country. He could have just went out, quit and went out in his own strength, but he waited and he prayed for God to open up the door. And that's so important for us to understand, because the reality is that you may be in the job you have now. God may have you in this exact place at this exact time because he's trying to develop some critical skills in you before he unleashes you on what he wants you to do. See, for Nehemiah, his current calling financed his ultimate calling. And God may be trying to develop some critical skills in you through your current job. critical skills like things like just getting on a set schedule, waking up at the same time every day, getting yourself cleaned up and ready, being punctual, getting to work on time, working with other people, learning the ins and outs of the trade, receiving a paycheck and being responsible with that money. Maybe God is working those things in you before he unleashes you. Because listen, very often, God refines us before he releases us. And it's important to understand that in the process, when you're waiting for opportunity, to pray and prepare. And when that opportunity presents itself, you'll be ready. But what happens if the doors just keep closing? Well, you either pray that God would strengthen you as you wait for the doors to open, or you ask God to open your eyes to new opportunities that you haven't previously considered. Friends, I believe that God has a special calling on all of your lives. But before we ever respond to that specific calling, we must first respond to that general calling, that calling to be in relationship with him. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And if you don't, you might sense that he's calling you even right now. The great news about Jesus is he's always calling. And even now, you may be feeling the vibrations in your heart. And Jesus is saying, come on, pick up. Pick up. And let me tell you what he's calling about. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to surrender your life to him, to confess your sins to him, to believe that he is God sent to die in your place. And he wants you to commit your life to him. How do you respond to this call? Through prayer. Have you ever intentionally prayed to Jesus and invited him into your life? I'm not talking about just believing God loves me, but deliberately praying to him, saying, I want you into my life. If you've never done that, then I want to help you do that today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You can just repeat the words that I gave you in the quietness of your heart right where you're sitting, and God will hear you from heaven. I'll give you the words, but you got to pray them in faith. So if you're ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ today and invite him in, then I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and pray with me and just repeat these words in the quietness of your heart. Jesus, today I answer the call. Just pray that right back to him. Jesus, today I answer the call. I'm going to stop running from you. And I admit my sins have pushed you away. But I believe you died in my place. And I ask you, Jesus, to forgive my sins. Will you make me clean? Will you come into my life? Will you change me so I could walk with you for the rest of my days? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, first time, we'd love to know about it. This is what I want to challenge you to do. Before you leave here today, there's a couple of ways you can respond to this. On your way out, there's a table that says next steps. Let somebody know there, hey, today I prayed to receive Jesus. What do I do next? They'd be happy to get you connected with some resources to help you grow. Another way to do that is in a few minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward for prayer, for needs of any kind, for yourself or for somebody else. So as people are coming forward to pray, you ought to get out of your seat too. Come forward and let somebody know, hey, today I prayed to receive Christ. Or another thing that you can do is pull out your phone and text the word next to 909-281-7797. You'll receive a message back with a couple of different ways to connect at Sunrise Church. Pick that first option, which is I said yes to Jesus. But for everybody else, this is a great way to take your next step. Text next to 909-281-7797. It's a great way to find out about how to get connected into small groups. Maybe find a place to serve or just link up with somebody one-on-one. Continue to take those next steps. Don't just stay where you are. Friends, listen. If we live a typical lifespan, the largest percentage of our days will be spent working. Don't you want your work to matter? Don't you want to do what God wants you to do? What if he has a special calling over your life? Something that you might not ever get paid for, but something that is meaningful and life-giving and honoring to Christ. Friends, if you would respond to this call, I believe it can totally transform the way you view work. And by following this call, you may find yourself in a position where you're doing what you love, with people you love, serving a God you love, and you would be able to say in all sincerity, thank you, Jesus, that I get to work. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I hope this message series has been a blessing to you. And I want to pray for us as we conclude our time. Lord Jesus, work is something that's so challenging for so many of us. And some of us have gotten caught in the rat race of just constantly going and paying bills and spending and all of this kind of stuff. We're just in this rut. God, I pray you would open our eyes to what you want us to do. Lord, I pray for the retiree who's past their days of working as an occupation but have plenty of work in front of them that they're never going to get paid for. Lord, I pray you would inspire and open hearts. God, I pray for that person in here who's looking for work. God, I pray that you help them take steps forward, even if it means just financing what your ultimate calling in their life is. God, I pray for people like me who are blessed enough that we're actually getting paid for our calling. May we be faithful to you in all things, God, and whatever we do to work for you, not for human masters. And God, as we take this time of offering where we give back what you gave to us, it's yours anyway, Lord, may we do so with a spirit of worship, a spirit of gratefulness. As your word says, you love a cheerful giver. May we give, showing our faith that you're going to meet our needs. Lord God, we love you. Lord God, we need you. And we pray all of these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And if you believe it in your heart, then somebody say, amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. I want to encourage you to not just stop here. Maybe you sense God is speaking to you today and wanting you to take that next step. So here's two ways you can do just that. The first is text the word next to the number 909-281-7797. That's 909-281-7797. You'll receive a message back with some ways to help you grow. That may mean joining a small group or finding a place to serve or just talking with someone one-to-one about your faith. You can also visit the notes for this podcast and follow the links provided. And if you're within driving distance of one of our four physical locations in Banning, Ontario, Rialto, or Victorville, we'd love for you to stop by sometime and give us a chance to meet you personally. Again, we want to thank you for listening, and we hope to see you soon. God bless.